So we're holding here in the, it's actually you know, the parshas are attaching our, you know, the Agadot and the parshas. So we had the Chazal over here about the Mialdas Ivrius. There's a piece here in the Agadot that's not, the Maral doesn't speak about it. I'd like just to mention it and mention a nice chat that I saw. It says it's in the Agadot in the Yaakov, it's Lamed Hey, Piska Lamed Hey. By Yemer we alert him if you are Susan's Avonim. My Avonim, Omer of Hanan Simon Godel Mosalahan. Ikurig Amri Kedexiva aired base a Yoitsevino Oisim Lokal Avonim. My Yoitse Ze Yerach Mikan Yach Mikan Vesadan Bemtha, Ikri Yach Mikan Viach Mikan Ravla Bemtha. Ikur Amri Bishaw Shemachras Leylaid Yersem Sans Kavonim. Okay. Then he says, in Benu Vamitna Simbasi Hoya, Omer Panino Simigodal Muslim, Ben Panablamato Bas Panel Mala. So somebody asked, what, I mean, like, what's the point of the simen? I mean, you know, you assume that to be able to tell quite quickly whether it's a Ben or a Bas, but what's the point of giving over the simen? So I saw somebody says, a very good point, he says, Pari saw that they hesitated to kill, or he suspected that they weren't going to kill. So he told him, I'm going to give you a simen so that you can abort the Uber in the Me'imo. In other words, in the position as it's before it comes out, you can already tell it's a Ben Abbas. And therefore, you can soothe your conscience by saying that since it's unborn, it's not a, it's not going to be a... you know, it's not going to be a real Ritzicha. Stam, interesting. Okay.
I heard from Rabbi Yeager.
It's not the pshat that when you see them, before you see them, there's less Rachmanis than when you see them?
But that could also be true. And this person assumed that there were more briskas, that the halacha worried them more. Assumed they were more naturally women and the feelings came. What is it?
I think I heard a pshat that it has to do with Akum, that they are not chayav by Uber?
So fakert, an akum is chayav. I believe there's a diak in the Rambam that an akum is worse. We're not chayav in Uber. An akum is, I think there's a diak in the Rambam. I remember Beshaita. I don't
That's why he told them, so they shouldn't have a problem with it.
Right, so they for them it's not real Ritzicha. For him it is, so I think that's, yeah. But same idea, Al-Kapanim. But the point was, they should be able to get the Vlad before the Noilad, and that way it's sort of a, it's easier, there'll be more Nicha and so on. The next piece is the one that Tamal speaks about. Yeah?
I think there's a diuk in the Pasuk. It says Adam Betocha Adam. There was a diuk in the Pasuk itself. That's where I think it's, I've got the Lashon of the Pasuk. It says Adam Betocha Adam, then it's considered the Ritzicha. It's okay.
Nefesh Adam be'Adam.
No.
What?
Okay, I'll have to look at it.
Okay. Well, Kapan, there is a diakon. I do remember there's a diakon in the Rambam, and I don't remember. It was a long time ago when they started passing legislation allowing abortion. That was the issue. Okay, so it says, Vatir enam also kimvalei osu kasha diba lehem. So lehen mi boile. Should have said lehen. That he tried to get them to sin with him, and they were not, and they didn't answer. You know, they did not respond. So let's look at the morale over here, and you know, on the surface of it, it just seems like we're trying to dump, you know, once we're trying to dump more averus on Paro. Like what's wrong with just saying, you know, he told him to kill and this and that? What's pshat over here? So the Maral says, "V'tirena miyaldus alikim laosu kashdibalei melech mitzrayim lehen miboilei." V'nir lefarish, dehavi lemichtav lehen. V'zeh kiloshna leim nemar kash shedab adam al zulas uba adibo mimen al zulase. Al zeh ama elav elai alehem. Avol kan shakosim misampa shamiyaldus leshomu elakzeir shebolam yaldus miparlos abanim. So the morale is medayik grammatically, the lashon. the word lahen, when you speak to somebody and the purpose is not the interaction between the two people, but rather information that I'm passing or I'm telling you to do something. So lahen, it's third person. He spoke to them, I'm relating to you. He told Yankel and Beryl to pick up the stuff and to bring it out. Whereas elehen is a conversation where the purpose is the connection. I'm speaking to you. That means where there's some sort of sense or desire for a kesher. So if we were talking about a gzeir over here, then it would have been lahen. If we're talking about it says elehen, which is a familiar term of connection, that's mashma that he wanted something personal, which is to be mashma navera. The ena kosa mesapesh vadim primary also actually kibla gzeir of mitlahen. Or figur toshu melamet shom vavera nitvu. Vashta vavashapet kashdiba elehen mitvashar ze gzeir. Rakshay tov vavashan vavera vashayach bezak shdiba elehen. Rashi Pishbin Acha, Ketzel Tash Meshach Eleh, and Kirchsev Vayove Eleho. So the Lashon Eleho is a commonly used with Tashmish, which again is not even so far off from the point that he's making, but he says the strict grammatical sense is the way he says it. Now the Maharal is going to explain what was the point of all this? And was, why would he want to do it, etc., etc.? Umipnei. Paro thought that the Mialdos would not do it. He figured the Jewish, either knew the Jewish or knew that they certainly knew they were not Mitzrim, and that they would like them and they would not like any other Am. So he needed to get around. He figured, I can't trust them. So he's saying the aside here, and this is also the aside by Bnois Midian. The when they tried to be Marshal Klal Yisrael for Baal Pa'er. So Chazal give a certain seer where they would engage them, and when they would be holding by doing an avera, they would say there's a condition for it. You've got to bow to Avodah Zarah. So Mo says it over here. He says it's a deeper point. Whenever we want to be convinced of something, whenever we want to take on an ideology, so the fact that we like what's being said, somebody comes along and convinces me of its validity or inspires me, is one way to accept ideology. A second way is, and this is actually probably even more prevalent, when there are people that I want to be part of, people that I like and people I want to be part of, I accept their ideology as well. It's something which, it's the love for the people and so on that influences me to want to accept what they think and what they believe. Sometimes it's just outright cynical. You know, I want to be part of this exclusive club, so I'm going to subscribe to their belief. And sometimes it's my friends' friends are my friends also. Whatever he likes, the society likes, the people likes, I like also. I sort of transfer his liking to my liking. Now, first of all, that phenomena is was the reason, and whenever in Klal Yisrael you had a lot of people, Rachman el San Shmaring, for instance, Spain, before the 1490s, in Spain, 100 years before and more, there were a lot of conversions. A lot of Spanish Jews converted. Lo aleinu, Juan Hassan. The numbers aren't credible if you look at the history. I mean, no, you can never get exact numbers, but numbers are, we're talking about, you know, 30, 40, 50%. We're talking about a huge amount of people. It's not because they were convinced that Yeshu was anything. It's because they liked Spain, Spanish people, Spanish culture. That was their world, and therefore the beliefs of the Spanish were their beliefs. It was easy for me to accept it because this is the world of people that I'm part of. Let's take a simple example. A Jew in Poland, where the church and Christmas were all pogroms, had very little reason to convert unless he wanted to escape that life. That was a reason to convert, to escape that life. In America, because Santa Claus is an Oyev Yisrael and he likes everybody, today, you know, sort of a international symbol, we all love each other. So I like America. I like Americans. I want to be part of America. I'm part of Americans. You know, Elohayech Elohoi. Your God is going to be my God. Germany, in the that whole group of Maskilim where they all converted to Christianity, it certainly didn't believe in it. It also wasn't. There were some people where I couldn't get into university unless I would convert. Okay, that's a small segment. The large segment of people was, I'm German, and Germany is me, and I'm part of the German nation, German people. And therefore, their religion is part of me. It sort of comes in with a package deal. That is, so on the world of Shuka, Taiva, and so on, that wave rides also this other thing also. And that's why any type of, take a look, like Hamor ben Shechem, you know, he came along and he said, you know, Rabbi Yisrael, we've got this wonderful nation we want to be part of. So yes, it was a deal, you have to mal, but he was also saying, you know, this is a great nation. We want to be part of this nation. And you know, this is their religion, this is their God, and so on. So the sort of merging together of Taiva with Avodah Zarah, Shittas Kozos, it's a lot deeper than just kind of a deal. You know, like it says, if you want to be nivel to me, you have to bow to God. It's the process is much more insidious. It goes into a person, and he wants to become part of that. He buys into that because it's part of him. So here is he figured, if they become emotionally attached to Mitzrayim and to Mitzrim, they're going to also feel very Mitzridic. They're going to stop thinking themselves as Jews and start thinking as Egyptians if there is that element of Tshuka also. And that's why if somebody, of all the Averis, you know, people always are kind of surprised when you talk about intermarriage. Halachically, the Avera is actually not from the big Averis. It is in a sense because it's kind of a pagan boy, but it doesn't, there's no place to put it up vis-a-vis other things. But when you've married out, you're no longer part of Klal Yisrael emotionally, you know, mentally. It's so in a certain sense you've abdicated everything. Reb Yaakov writes in a certain place in his Emes Yaakov that this is one of those areas where if you ask somebody who's just a Baal Halacha, is it a person has a choice of two shidduchim? He's not from married Jewish girl, but he'll be Eva Isanida every time he lives with her, or marry a fine goya. There is no Isanida with a Goya, Midaraisa. So this way he's never going to be Oyev Nida. Only mild Isser of sorts. But he said, it's of course, there's no question that marrying somebody Jewish is much more important because it's not, marrying a Goya is not a problem of Isuribia. It's a problem, basically, you've attached yourself to a different Ummah. So if you marry a Goya, the kids are Goyim. So for sure, you've sort of taken Zeri Yisrael and brought it to Mesolam. If a Jewish woman marries a goy, so despite the fact that the children are nominally Jewish, but her neshama is caught up someplace else, and that's what Pari wanted to do. And he says, ubishvil gedel shukasei shapari lahoitzim ashafta bigzera zaysav poyel hayatayv on the dvar veira. So he is over here. It wasn't that Paro was so much in love with them. It was Paro was willing to, in a certain sense, it was not befitting that a king should take on two commoners like that. And it was because of this, it was a shame Shemayim, because he was so willing to be mashed in Favera, he wanted them, he was willing to do this also. Because tovin oid beinyan, asher tovin levar vera, because tovin liois nishmois elabinyan zelamos elodim, hayav tovin liyismar elav the gam levar vera gamkein, vezemi pulas hakoyach shemayel umazoli, shekol inyan para in sofik shadekoyach umazoli, sheois hakoyach tveis levar vera. So here the Maral makes another point that he said before, so and let's discuss it. The Maral says in many places that divrei malachim einan b'mikra, that things that kings do are not b'mikra, which, like we always explain, the Maral uses the word mikra and ashkacha a little bit different than we use it. But for us, you know, everything is ashkacha, so what are we talking about? But what he means is it's not a one-time issue. It is something which is it's something which is part of a bigger picture. Mikra means that I look at the issue as it is. I can't connect it to anything else. So even if it's gevaldik hashgacha, but there's another musig of mikra, meaning that in the scope of things, it is what it is, and that's it. And don't read too much into it as being, you know, conspiracy theories. A king is somebody who includes in himself a big picture. We saw last week when we learned over here about Moshe being Nivdal, that so a king, when a king is doing things, the picture is much bigger. A king's action, a king has limited bechira, and a lot of it is motivated by, you know, certain things that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, but more than anything else, he is affected by the mazel of his umma. In other words, whatever pnimius the koach the umma has, that's how a melech is acting. We are entitled and right to see it. So, Lamashal, let's give a contemporary example. If a person talks about a Russia, a regular Goyish Russia, let's say, he's a Russia, and this is the reason, that's the other reason. And if you read too much into it, you've got a vivid imagination. Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, even we're entitled to say and to think about his plan of destroying the world's Jewry and connecting it to Amalek and things like that, not because Hitler was such a deep person, learned through Chazal, and came out with a shtickle Torah and this and that. It's mazel chazabai. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought not a particular human being into hard to call him that, but a particular person as it's the pshat is there was a certain hanhaga of a certain nature which he brought into this world through him, and b'meila we look at him and his what he did as part of a much bigger picture. So he says, Paro, and if you notice, the Torah never calls Paro by any personal name. He's Paro, 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 Paro. And the reason is because he really was irrelevant as an individual. His actions, L'Toyev, L'Mutev, were all things that were beyond, you know, they didn't relate to him as a person. He was a vehicle in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, and therefore the same koach that tried to destroy Klal Yisrael through killing, tried to destroy Klal Yisrael through being machtida. That's how he wants to instead. So anything which we can see, anything that goes at the heart of destroying Klal Yisrael is appropriately ascribed to Paro. Okay.
Is that a question?
Yes,
why,
please.
Why is it? What's the seichel in the fact that living, say, with a non-Jewish woman is not a great issue when at the end of the day it leads to the ultimate destruction?
So I would say, let's give a mashal to it, let's take a contemporary mashal for it. I guess contemporary because I'm in a school. A kid misbehaves in a class, and he misbehaved badly. So you make him do some terrible assignment. You have him do extra work. You yell at him in front of the class. A whole array of different things that you might bear down very rough. There's another kid that you decide you don't want him in school. You call him in and say, it's over. You know, l'chaim l'shalom. So somebody will say, kal v'chaimah. The first guy did something terrible and he got a whole array of punishments. The second one did something even worse, and you spent 5 minutes and you said, l'chaim l'shalom, and you know, here's your exit visa and out. Why? What's the logic? The answer is, when something is still corrigible, when something is still rectifiable, so there's levels of effort to work with him. When something is incorrigible, there's nothing you can do with him anymore, then you don't waste any time, it's just out. If you are not eligible even for a punishment of Bezdin, punishment of Bezdin is a kapara. All the people that receive these Mises Bezdin, they all are miskaper. And therefore, you know, it says that once you're punished within the framework of Torah, so now you're an escaper and you're part of it. Somebody who's means within the framework of Yiddishkeit, you're out, you're gone. Why would Bezin sit and punish you? Punishment has a tachlis to it, and therefore you're basically a goner. So it's a much deeper, and it is like that. A person who makes that step is gone, and therefore it has no makram of einish within that cloud. That's the reason for it. I mean, the irony of it is, you know, the amount of people who married out and their spouses became interested in Yiddishkeit and became frum and dragged them screaming and kicking back into the fold, it's incredible. It's something I see it plenty, and I'm always astounded by it, that it was Dafka the one who was the outsider that, you know, that forced the person back in. What's the pshat? I don't know. That's the Baruch Shalom's doing these things. But Akupan, that's why it's such a terrible thing. He's out. He's not the... My shver said over from the Chofetz Chaim once. I forgot where the kasha was. I think somebody was being Michal Shabbos. I believe so. And he asked him... I don't remember what the kasha was, but Chofetz Chaim explained to him what's the severity of it. He said, when there's a battle, the battle is over and you have wounded laying all over the place, so the medic goes around and he checks each person and tries to figure out to treat him on the spot, to step him away, and he spends a few minutes with each wounded one figuring out what to do with him. He said, as soon as he sees somebody with a bullet in his head, he just moves on. There's no point in it. There's nothing. So he told him, Shabbos is a bullet in the head. I don't remember what the kasha was, but today we've gone further than that. So marrying out is a bullet in the head. And by the way, one of the dilemmas is in the modern Orthodox communities, you know, Matoch HaMeinech Yeshevas, you have a following situation. I'm speaking of something that's current. There's a family, frum family, very frum. No, it's not Yeshivas, but very frum, very good people, very other people. One of their sons, actually the one who went to Chorei Yeshiva, ended up marrying a Goya. Now, the he was very angry. There were a lot of anger, a lot of issues. But be it as it may, she is interested in coming for Shabbos and to people, to other people she reached out. She has an interest in it. Now, the question is, how do you deal with those people? Are you supposed to reject them utterly? Are you supposed to make them feel a still part of family when you're sort of condoning something terrible? And there's another problem, and again, this is more America. The only thing that keeps many modern Orthodox boys away from a goya, of girls, is the understanding that it's they are out. If it becomes something acceptable, then there is very little, there's very little barrier. So do you go after this person? And there is a reasonable chance that she will lead him back. There is such a chance. That, on the other hand, you're creating a mikshel for other people because this is a great barrier. This is the last barrier for a lot of boys. I don't know. It's a dilemma. It's not an easily solved dilemma. But I'm saying, just once we're talking about Lolenu, it is okay. Next, Vatomana miyaldo salparo ki kloig noshem amitzis ivris ki choyes heina. What is choyes? Ilei mo choyes mamish otachay letzichay achritu lolidi. In other words, they said the choyes, meaning they are the simple meaning would mean they themselves are midwives, the doctors. They know the Torah themselves. So he said, okay, but when a midwife gives birth, she doesn't give herself birth. Somebody else stands there. You don't lift yourself by your bootstraps. Elo amaloi umazu kichayinim shalas. So half of the Shvatim were Nimshal to Chayos, Zev, Aryeh, and Shoyer, and so on. And those who weren't, there's a clawless thing in Chayosol that the Via Ben Aroyas. So just like animals don't need a Mialet, so too not. Well, what's the, what does it refer to? So they give birth very quickly. So there's come up no time that we need to be there. The lashon in this parasha is mialdos. So why switch and say about them chayos? Say they're also mialdos. So bal korchach, the word chayos is bimuram, is it something else also? Al shabor lirmas b'lashon zeh shein nisholik my chayos asoda. So he says the following point. Physical, it, almost by definition, the more mass something has, the more inertia it has. So when something is very goofyistic, it moves slowly. Now, that's on two levels. One is pure physical. Somebody who weighs a few hundred pounds, not easy to get around. If he walks quite slowly. But even a little bit more than that, a person whose hanah is gashmius, it doesn't like to move around a lot. In other words, I like to sit and relax and be served. A person whose nature is more zrizistic, I like to do, I like to get, I like to go, I like this, I like that, I'm much more an active person because my center of gravity is not my goof. It's my energy, my creative energy, my business energy, you know, stuff like that. The so because Balei Chaim have less of a kavod of the guf, so too the Klal Yisrael. So by Chayas, it's just an instinct. But Klal Yisrael also has that, you know, Chayas, when it comes to their performance, it's very efficient. They go as quickly as they can. They do as quickly as they can. There's never a schlepping out. By us, there's a schlepping out because we're physically oriented. So we're like laying back, we're like schlepping something. They're much more zarzik. So Klal Yisrael, because they're more refined, their ruchnis, they have that srizus. Lafikach hevikrole raya ma'imcha levi banois rovtza, rotza bezak yiso yikor b'shem chayas asoda, shakol chayas asoda, choymram yoysedakna behema. V'cheinu Yisrael, yesh ben dakas achamu. I saw also an interesting pshat. It says, v'loi shomu aleihem, that the mialdus, it says, v'loi osuka shadiba aleihem. Matyana mialdus, v'loi osuka shadiba aleihem. So he asks, so somebody asks, Lechura, they should have said they didn't listen to him. What does it mean for Le'osek Zibel? If it's going back on Aveira, or it's going back on the five. So he said they couldn't tell the king, we're not going to do what you're asking of us. But what they kept doing was they kept pushing him off. They kept being messiah him to something else and draining him until he just didn't feel confident more to do it. So the pshat is they ended up not doing. They didn't protest it straight because I guess they would have been killed for that. But what they did instead was they sort of trade around. They kept avoiding it. It was they ended up not doing it. Okay. So then it says, by Hika Sheyaru, the next piska in the Agarita, by Hika Sheyaru Amlaldas as Alekim as Embotim, Rabu Shmuel Haram about the Malchus, Haram about the Kun Levia. Manu about the Kun Levia is Aaron Moshe, but the Malchus David Nami Mirikosi, the Siv, about Thomas Azuva, by Hika Lakolavas Ephras, the Tedless Chor, Oksiv David Ish Ephrasi, and so on. So the Asiyas Batim over here is specifically these things. So what's the inyan of these things specifically? Ba'ikash yor miyaldas solikim v'chulu pirish mipnei shamiyaldas heiremas solikim val yodam hoyenivne beis Yisrael sheparim v'rabim lekach osalem batim kum b'Yisrael. So he's explaining the difference between, he's explaining what the kesh is between the two. A base, when you talk about base Yisrael, base kahuna, whatever it is, you're talking about a group structure that stays permanent. A bias, a person is a physical entity. He's not a creation of anything. He is what he is. So Reuven is Reuven, Shimon is Shimon, and so on and so forth. When I speak of Beis Yisrael, I'm speaking of a community, a kind, a min, that stays as such. And therefore, Beis Yisrael is the community of Klal Yisrael. That's a human creation. That's a creation of a person. And it refers to a situation where it is a perpetual community. It's not limited to any particular one person. It's a cloud. So he says, So they were zocha to have in Klal Yisrael, there were also batim. They what happened is they the first ones to allow Klal Yisrael as a klal to keep perpetuating themselves. El Shacholt Nemando Batikun Leviyev Lebatim Malchias Mishum De Batikun Leviyev Kvuim Ben Lasser Some Klal. Avol Malchus Afam Yusa Veins a Bias. Amane Batim Malchus Kam Malchus Elam Bias Deshechsulahem Shum Bias Apes Malchus. So it explains a little bit the difference, and that's interesting how it plays out. We're explaining bias is something that is a structure, which the structure is permanent despite the fact that the individuals are not. So Klal Yisrael is a permanent entity despite the fact that every member of Klal Yisrael comes and goes. Kahuna and Levi are like that, and Malchus is like that. But there's a difference. Kahuna and Levi, once it's set, it's automatic. You don't need a base kahuna for kahanim to patriot, kahanim are kahanim. Malchus, on the other hand, it can come to an end. In other words, the son of a king is not automatically a king. It never makes that conversion to a metzias. And that's why there is this, and that's why it each one has a mile of the other one. Kahuna and Leviya are very permanent batim, and Malchus is something which, because it's not permanent, it means it has a certain mila. It's sort of you created you didn't put a fact into the ground once, and that's it. It's a framework in which normally Malchus keeps coming. Malchus may stover despite the fact that it has a hefsid, it certainly is even more than that. Okay, we'll hold it here.